Start at 3. Brother Richard Hyatt will be here. And when the service gets over, we'll see if we can get some volunteers to serve the food and all when we get ready on Saturday to have the youth service. So remember that. Brother Richard Hyatt will be here Sunday, both services. He's a real good brother from Russellville, Kentucky, and you'll really enjoy him. And so just keep him in your prayers. Also, camp meeting will be August 3rd through the 6th. They will not have any foreign brothers, so I don't know if there's any foreign brothers that we're going to have. Because usually Dad usually is a scheduler in August when all the foreign brothers are over here, but I don't think they're all going to be able to come, or any of them, I don't think. So we'll just support them with our prayers, and if we can go, that'll be fine. Brother Donnie Reagan and Brother Ron Spencer will be preaching those services, so just support them with your prayer. Also, Brother Richard gave me a note, says the youth that are playing for the musicians playing for the meeting next weekend, because the kids will be doing Sunday. The youth services will be handled by all the young people next Sunday. That will be Brother Michael, and the musicians need to practice after the service is over. All right. So if you're going to play an instrument, youth going to be playing instruments, you need to meet after the service is over. Okay. And that will be next Saturday at 3 o'clock. We'll have that, and we'll bring you up to speed a little bit more in just a few minutes. But if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Hebrews and continue our thought. We got to a spot this morning, and I hope you understood what I was talking about with Job and Leviticus there with the Jubilee year, because that Jubilee year was never accomplished in the time of the Jews. That's why God put them into captivity, and he even said he was going to let the land rest for 50 years, because they wouldn't. They just kept planting crops and first one thing and another. It's because God's going to always make sure he does what he said he was going to do. But on that 50th year, if you went free, you were free. If not, then you stayed where you were at, and you got born in the air with an awl. Amen? That's why, you know, you look in the end time and you see these people with their ears pierced. Just saying. Is that not a type of being bored in the ear with an awl, and you're not being able to hear the word of God because you're doing something you're not supposed to do? We try to, like Brother Luis said, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. That's why we try to walk different. That's why we try to walk by the Bible and try to do as Christians do, according to the Bible, not according to somebody's law or somebody's denomination. Like I said this morning, and we're going to read it here in Amos, that God does nothing until he reveals it to his servants, the prophets, first. Then that prophet does not stay silent and cannot stay silent. He has to speak. He has to prophesy. It says, what? The lion hath roared, who will not fear? In other words, that person is going to have to speak. So let's not be scared. Now, we need to be scared of false prophets, but if you know who the true prophet is, then you'll know who the false prophet is. The problem is a lot of people don't know who the true prophet is, so they take the false prophet as the true. As we were talking about the beast, and we'll talk about him, the Antichrist. See, everybody, the whole world is deceived by him. The whole world is deceived by the beast or the Antichrist in the end time. Now, when the bride leaves the world, this whole world is deceived by one man. And he's a false prophet. He's not a real prophet. Amen? So let's just get into the book of Hebrews, 9 verse 11. Just pray for us, and continue to pray for Brother Dale, and hold him up, Mom too, and all of us together, the whole bride body. There's just one big family, so. We love you with the love of the Lord, and thank you for all those things. Hebrews 9, remember Brother Joe, Canada, and them will be back this afternoon, and Brother Aaron and Sister Sarah is going to be going out to Wyoming and different places. Just pray that you bless them, and also Brother Danny and Sister Joyce are already out there, so they're enjoying their time off, and that's good. You get time to go get away. time to get away and go to some of these places. You can see some of these places we're going to have to wait till the millennium to go see, but that's okay. I don't think I want to go to the Middle East at this moment. I think I'll wait and go. I think that's where we're going to live for a few thousand years, so, you know, for a thousand years at least, so it'll be okay. We'll be able to roam around, travel like a thought. We won't have to pay Delta or anybody else or get caught in a, a line there with the TSA. So it won't be no TSA. Sorry if there's a TSA agent watching in. There won't be any TSA in glory. Thank the Lord. So God bless you, and let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you give us. Now I pray that you would bless us, be with us in the furtherment of this service, Lord. You be the one that does the speaking. You be the one that does the hearing. Father, you be the one that does the revealing, because without you, Lord, it's just a meeting of people. But Lord, let your Holy Spirit come down and be with each one. Not just come on us, Lord, come through us and settle inside of us, Lord, as you did on the day of Pentecost, Lord, and you stayed there and resided with the people. And Lord, may we take what we have today and just take it out to the world, Lord, and give it to a dying and perverse world, Lord, that we live in. Like I said, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you've taken us out, and you've temporarily, sure, raptured us and resurrected us out of there, but Lord, we're looking for that great resurrection. And that time of rapture when we can leave this world, Lord, and not be able to, not have to have any ties connected to this world, Lord, we'll be with you in glory for a while. Lord, just be with the people and bless them. Take care of the ones on the highways, Brother Joe and the different ones that are coming in now, Brother Aaron and Brother Danny and Sister Joyce that are traveling, Lord, on vacation. We pray that you'd just touch them, bring them back safe together here, that we'll all be one together in you, Father. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. And y'all be praying for the youth service that's coming up. We're trying to have them again. So we want to help the youth and answer some questions. I was looking at questions and answers. Brother Branham was talking about different things, and it's where he said, you know, questions make a strong church. So if you have questions, then you need to ask. I always enjoyed when Brother Dale did questions and answers for a long time ago before some of y'all started coming here. There used to be a question box in the back. Wasn't it like it was an old Bible case or something? It was a question. It had a little slit in it. It said question box. And people would be able to anonymously slide a question in every once in a while, you know. And that was good. We were able to, Brother Dale was able to answer those questions. So maybe we can get back to that a little bit. But if you have a question in your mind, then, you know, we want to be able to let the Lord answer, because he's got the answers to all questions. Amen. Hebrews 9, but Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now let's go to Amos 3. We're going to cover this a little bit more this afternoon. And then we're going to get to the two prophets, Brother Donnie. I promise you today we're at least going to say two prophets. I just said it, so we don't have to do it again. Surely the Lord God will do nothing. Look at that Bible. If you got your Bible, if you don't have, look right up here. Surely the Lord God, capital G-O-D, will do nothing. But he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. We know he sent us a string of servants, of prophets down through the Bible. So let's not be so scared that God sent us a prophet in the end time. Okay, because he's not going to do anything unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophet, first. And then the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? So in other words, the anointing that's on that person is going to transfer, because he has the mind of God, he has the voice of God, he's speaking something to you. But remember, it's not going to return void, so it's got to hit something. It's got to go in something. Or it's just vain jangling. It's just words that are spoken. But no, he sent a prophet to tell us something, and not to the whole world, because the whole world could accept it, but they don't. So he only sent it to a select group of people in that age, and we know what that is for the end time now. So look in Revelation 11:3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy. So there's two prophets going to Israel, and they shall prophesy 1,203 days. That's 1,260 days, or 3.5 years according to the prophetic calendar. Amen. Clothed in sackcloth. So you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing. And we're just going to kind of jump through from this morning, if that's all right. we'll not go to Leviticus where we were talking about the Jubilee year, but we'll continue down to Revelations 1, verse 13, Brother Anderson. And if you would, keep that chart handy. We may pull it up in just a minute, if that's all right. Amen. We love the brothers in the back. They, even without Brother Joe here, they're doing a good job. They do a good job anyway. They kind of all work hand in hand anyway. That's what I said about the mark of a true church. The mark of a true church is if somebody's out, there's somebody to fill the place, and there's not really that much of a gap, you know, as far as filling the place back up. So we really enjoy that because God, I like God. God's in continuity. God flows. God's not somebody that just says, oh, I think I'll do this, and then I think it didn't work, so I think I'll do it. No. Whatever he thought, that's what worked. Amen? Whatever he thought, that's what's going to work. So we see now in Revelations 1, we've been through all the eternal redemption, how God had to send, had to come himself as the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had to be the Savior of the world, and he had to die on a cross, and he was resurrected. And what happened on the day of Pentecost is that same man in the form of the Holy Ghost. Now he said, I'll come back. There in the scriptures, he says, I'll come back. I'll send a comforter. I'll come back and he'll come in my name. And he'll come in my Father's name. So what's the name of the Father? Father's not a name. Like water baptism. Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. That's a title to a name. What is the name of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jehovah's not even a name. Jehovah's a title. God's not even a name. Amen. God's not even a name. There has to be a name attached, because when the Bible says everybody in heaven's going to be named one name, and that's Jesus Christ, then if there's only one God, then that's Jesus Christ. And then you and I are called what? Mrs. Jesus Christ, being the bride. Amen. In the midst of the seven candlesticks. So he came back on the day of Pentecost into the 120 people, and they went out and started the Gentile dispensation, because God had to put Israel away because they, I don't want to say the word went whoring, but that's what the Bible says. They, in other words, they took on another husband while they were supposed to be married to Christ. They took on another husband called the devil, called Baal, called Belial, and all the different things that they got themselves mixed up with. And God said, okay, I got to put you away because I can't take you back because you've been defiled. All right, and under that defilement, God couldn't take them back, but he couldn't forget Israel because they were the apple of his eye. They were the ones he started with. But then there was a Gentile bride that he would come for in the 2,000 years of church ages. And this is the church ages. Revelations 1, verse 13 says, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now we know the paps is up here. That's the breast. That's feminine. So he was in bride form. You're not going to see Jesus Christ on this earth. Everybody understand that, right? The physical man Jesus is not going to be here until the millennium. If not, then he's got two bodies. And this is his body, his spiritual body. You and I are going to meet him in the air. He's not coming back here in a physical form. He's coming back in a spiritual form, but he's going to go into physical you. Amen? The Son of Man is going to be physical in your flesh, but we're going to meet him in the air. If not, he would have two bodies. His head and his hair were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes flame of fire. See, that shows me also, we were talking about this morning, us not going through the tribulation period. The bride will not go through the tribulation period. I read a few more quotes back there talking about Enoch and different ones, and the five wise and the five foolish virgins. The five wise virgins, they got up, got the call, and they went on with the bridegroom. Right. The five foolish virgins had to stay here because they didn't have enough oil. They didn't have any Holy Ghost to take them out of here, so they had to stay and go through the tribulation period. So the church does go through the tribulation period. But the bride does not go through the tribulation period. Amen? That's why you need to see, that's why the study of God had to send a prophet to tell us the difference between the church and the bride. Because you look and you see, as Brother Branham said, he said, you know, somebody said, well, Brother Branham, I see the woman in the sun, and I see this woman here, and I see this over here, and I see this over here. He said, you got that mixed up. He said, there's a church and there's a bride. There's a church nominal out there that can be saved and sanctified. Come on, brothers and sisters. I mean, we're not inclusive. Okay? We're definitely not exclusive, but we are exclusive to God. But you're not going to do away, but they're not going to get the position that you and I get. Same way with like Israel. Israel couldn't take the position of bride anymore because she did what she did. Me and you can't take the... Well, anyway. We're bride.
Right.
By the new birth, we're bride. We are not bride just because we live here.
Right.
We're not bride just because we say the message of the hour is correct. We're bride because the Bible tells us that we need to be justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Not just an anointing and not just a feeling and not just a... I believe Jesus died on the cross. Well, you know what? The devil believes that too because he was there and watched it. The devil was back in eternity. Well, he was in eternity, but he wasn't eternal, but he was back in that part of time or no time where there was no time. He was back there with God. Right? He saw the development of all this. He just don't believe. He's an unbeliever. Figure that. I mean, he is. But this tells us right here, his hair was white like wool. If he's in bride form, he is a judge.
Right.
So the Bible says the saints will judge the earth. That's like I said before, we were talking about this morning. When you look in Revelations there where we read, where there were thrones. Thrones, plural, by people sitting on the throne that was in, not being judged, but given the right to judge.
Right.
Well, that's what the bride is right here. His hair was white like wool. White as snow, what? The wig of the judge.
Yes.
And his eyes were as flames of fire, and his feet like a fine brass. Now, what did the prophet of God tell us? Brass. You look up brass in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it means judgment.
Right.
Amen? So there you are. The bride is standing not in judgment, but judging the whole world out of those 2,000 years of seven church ages. That's where your judgment is going to be coming from. And his feet were like in the brass, and they burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Waters is what? People. And he had in his hand seven stars. So he had the stars in his hand. Excuse me. And what happened? Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. What? The word of God in those seven people. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at my feet as dead. Laid his right hand on me and said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. He was identifying who he was and where he was. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write these things which you've seen, and things which are, things which shall be hereafter. Here's the part here, the mystery. Scroll it all the way up. Or down, whichever one. Verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels. Now we looked that word up, angels. It's not an angel. Listen, angels don't have wings. Man came up with that. God didn't. Because if angels can fly, they got to have wings. And then you see the ones in Ezekiel that had wings, but they weren't angels, they were creatures.
Right.
So you just got to watch your terminology. All right? That's why there's no women angels. They're all men.
Right. Yes.
Amen? The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now, you have to identify that in the Greek lexicon. It tells us that is a messenger from God, an envoy, one who is sent, an angel, a prophet. Amos said that it had to be sent to you, a messenger from God, to what? Bring you a specific message. See, you can prophesy. The prophet of God tells us you could prophesy. The gift of prophecy could be to someone in this building, and it could fall on Brother Donnie, and he could stand up and prophesy and never do it again. God used him one time. There'd be a spirit of prophecy fall on Brother Donnie. He'd stand up and prophesy. That does not make him a prophet. A prophet has a message. A prophet has a specific message, and down through the seven church ages, there was Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and the prophet of God in the end time that brought specific messages, as we were talking this morning. And Brother Paul so valiantly, he picked up what I was trying to find. You remember Ira Smith. Ira Smith is the one that Brother Ram used a lot of times in some of his charts too, and I kept trying to think of that, and he said, you forgot to say Ira Smith. So, thanks for sitting right there in the front row and telling me that I missed something. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You the Minnesota people? I hope Russ is watching in. He does you? Okay, all right. That's scary. So anyway, but a messenger from God, you saw all these minor messages, though, that came from Uriah Smith, that came from Clarence Larkin, that came from Moody, Calvin, even you look at Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, all the great men. That we're not doing away with them. They have their place. But remember, they weren't placed in the Bible and had the manifestation according to what the Bible said.
Right. Right.
Now everybody understand what I'm saying.
Right.
Clarence Larkin was not in Malachi 4.
Right. That's right.
Now he could be a preacher. But he didn't have a message to a church age, a specific message, like the prophet of God did. And he was vindicated all over the world. And he was vindicated here in Malachi 4. So let's read Malachi 4. Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet. Now remember, we talked about this morning, and we're going to kind of just glance over it, save time, because we are going to get to the two prophets.
Yes.
I think. We may not get there. But that's okay. We'll background as much as we need the background. If somebody needs to be, you know, the background. I don't want to lose nobody. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, the first Elijah that came was back in Kings, Elijah himself, the number one, and he didn't restore before he smote the earth with a curse, and he wasn't one came before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He was back in the Old Testament, but we know that the characteristics of the prophet Elijah had to be given to us five different times: Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, William Branham, and then the one that's going, because they're looking for Elijah. I'm going to read it here in a minute. Those two prophets, when they go to Israel, they're looking for Elijah according to Malachi 4. Because remember, in, excuse me, the Bible stops right here to a Jew. Everybody got that?
Right.
What are we doing? Huh? Oh, thank you, son. That's my boy. What kind of cough drop is that?
Ask Christine. I don't
know. Ask for who?
Ask Christine.
Ask who? Ask Christine. I'm going to start talking like a girl. She's going to give me something. Thank you, Sister Christine. But see, right here. Never again.
Don't worry.
I'll get over this in a minute. Boy, that's tough. The Bible stops right here for the children of Israel. I mean, for Israel, because there's no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everybody got that?
Right.
So what they're doing, they're reading like we're reading Revelations. They're reading Malachi 4. Behold, I will send you, talking to Israel, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So they say, under their interpretation of what they see, this ain't good. From what they see, I hope there's something good inside that when it gets done. It's got a different taste to it. But thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you. I'll use it. But they're thinking that Elijah has got to show up before Jesus shows up, before their Messiah shows up.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because of that scripture right there. But now, according to scripture, when we're going to read in Zechariah, when those two prophets go over there and reveal to them that they missed that Elijah coming,
yeah.
Right?
Right?
They're going to say, oh my, we killed the Messiah. We're way behind.
Yeah.
We're looking at Elijah number one. And we've already been almost, we're getting Elijah number five.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And we'll read that in just a minute. I hope, Brother Donnie, we will. But there's a specific thing that he's got to do. He's going to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. We know that was John the Baptist because he was standing between this Old Testament and the New Testament, right? He was an Old Testament prophet still. He was in the Old Testament prophesying under Jesus' time to what? He came to turn the hearts of the old Jewish Orthodox Old Testament to the faith of the new children, the 120 that's going to be in the upper room, to a new message. Everybody got that? All right? Yes. Okay, one more time. Sister Frieda says you didn't understand that. That's okay. We're going to go at it again. He shall turn the heart of the fathers, Orthodox, Old Testament, fathers older than a child.
Right?
Fathers older than a child. So he's going to turn, this is John the Baptist. That's why it's hid, folks. That's why it took a prophet to tell us how to separate these things. Just like that one little word we read, we're in judgment, not of judgment. All right? And he shall turn the heart of the fathers. Old Testament fathers. The 12 tribes of Israel. He was trying to get Caiaphas and all them too, but Caiaphas is not going to, he's not going to take it. But that's the old, are you getting it now? The Old Testament to the children, which he's saying, all right, what's John the Baptist doing? We're not going to get the two prophets today. What did John the Baptist do? He stood between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because his job, his message was only 6 months long. Preached 6 months. Didn't heal a person. That wasn't his message. His message was the voice of one, Malachi 3. I didn't bring that. Didn't know I was going this way, but we're going this way. Malachi 3 was what? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, what did John do? John, at 9 years old, y'all don't try this, went back into the wilderness and eat locusts and wild honey. Right? Came out of the wilderness, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, behold, in other words, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There was a new message coming. It wasn't going to be under the law. It wasn't going to be under the judges and the kings and all these different things in the Old Testament. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world is going to be something new. Jesus Christ had never stepped foot on the earth since that time, Old Testament. Yeah. He spoke through prophets. He spoke through these different ones. But there was the man. There was God Almighty in human flesh. Right. And John saw, he said, the one I see, the Spirit, descend and remain.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Remember, he was a prophet. He could see in another dimension.
Right.
But now the Bible was specific. I believe when God told John, he said, hey, now look, John, you're going to see the anointing fall on different people. Because right. Remember, them Pharisees, they were always around John.
Right.
They were always wanting him to mess up. Right?
Yeah.
And they might have seen the Spirit of God anoint them. Sure. But it would lift off of them.
Right.
But now the Bible says, John, the one you see, that the Spirit descends and remains. That's the one that you identify as the Savior of the world. That's me. That's the one that's going to save the world. Because Caiaphas couldn't save the world. You can't save the world with just an anointing come off of you. You got to be the one that is the anointing, and you got to be the anointed.
Amen.
Amen. So that's what John did. He turned the hearts of the fathers to the children. In other words, right here. Because they became children before they became adults.
Right.
That's just pretty simple. And putting two together, not showing that this is John the Baptist, and this has to be a prophet in the end time before I come and smite the earth with a curse. Everybody got that? He shall turn the heart of the fathers. What? The heart. Your soul.
Yes.
The soul of you. He's going to turn your thinking
Amen.
Around
Amen.
And send you in another direction.
Amen.
So John the Baptist took the Old Testament people and introduced them to a new message.
Right.
All right? Not bulls and goats. Got it now? Not bulls and goats. Not lavers and going doing saying Hail Marys, and you understand what I mean? But here's the man's going to save the world by coming and shedding his blood. The supreme sacrifice. The Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. This only covered the sin of the world. John knew that. This only covered it. Or capo covered. This over here eradicated the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So there's John, and 6 months later he was dead. God used him 6 months. That's all he had. But you know what? One of the most powerful. What about a preacher? What about a priest? What about a prophet? That his only job was to introduce the Messiah. And without him, you didn't get introduced to the Messiah. Because what did he do? Behold. Shout. Because you can see John, he's sitting and he's baptizing people, and he's probably, he's not baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ because he didn't know that yet. But he's baptizing them unto repentance. And all of a sudden a man walks up. Just a common man. No beauty that man should desire him. He didn't stick out in the crowd. And that prophet, like Brother Bram said, that prophet's eyes met that prophet's eyes. And when that prophet's eye met that other prophet, that prophet's eye met his maker.
Amen.
He said, behold!
Yes. Amen.
The Lamb of God.
Right.
That'll take away the sin of the world. Pointed right at him. And said, that's the one that you gotta follow. Not me. I must decrease. That he may increase. Amen. So it's always Jesus Christ. Listen, a prophet never points you to himself. If a prophet points you to himself, he's not a true prophet. And our prophet in the end time, he never pointed to himself, ever. He pointed to Jesus Christ. And through his message, through his shout, through his voice, through the message that we get in the end time, I see Christ as real and more real. Then they're going to see him over there through those two witnesses. Because I'm his bride. I'm not just a chosen one. I'm his bride. I'm his intimate one. I'm his one that he gives all of his love to. Not that he doesn't love the other people. That's okay. But I love all you. But now June's the only one that's going home with me today. Amen? So that had to stop here. And the heart of the children, what? The children that had been turned to the New Testament. Okay, got it? Everybody got that? Now, this prophet that had to come in the end time, he had to turn a group of children back to fathers. In other words, from baby to maturity. All right? So from baby, they started down here. As full grown, some 120 in the upper room. But when it got up to right here, at the Pentecostal age, it was Pentecostal babies. Everybody speaking tongues. Everybody do this. Everybody got a song. Everybody got a this. Everybody got a that. Well, that's why that the prophet of God had to go to the Pentecostals, because they were children. Now listen. They were in the family because they were children. So don't do away with them. They were children. They were part of the family. But they were babies. And they couldn't grow anymore without God sending a prophet to turn them back. As I was saying this morning, that you've got this strand of eternity and the eternal word of God can't be changed, but Satan can come in and he can cut it and let it become non-effective because those loose ends are hanging down. So God had to send a prophet in the end time because he's got to restore. A prophet is a restorer. Like we talked about Elijah this morning. All right, we'll cover it in just a second. We'll just kind of skim over it. But a prophet's a restorer, but a prophet is also does something else. If you reject his message, what is it? Judgment. All right? Just like this, like Elijah, there stood Elijah with a woman and a baby, a woman and a child. And he said, if you'll do what I say, right? The woman that he meets when he goes down to, after the God calls him out and tells him to go down to that city, and they're having a 3.5-year drought because he's the one he called for 3.5 years of no rain.
Right.
So he goes down in the middle of that chaos and he tells a woman, type of the what? Church.
Yeah.
He says, woman, if you'll do what I say, your crews will never run dry. In other words, you'll sustain yourself through this church age. But now that's one woman. She did what he said. I mean, at the throes of death, she did what he said. She said, I ain't got enough meal but just to make one little bitty cake, and me and my son's going to die. He said, make it for me first. Whoa. Make it for me first. He said, but thus saith the Lord. Your cruse will not run dry. And your meal barrel will never. In other words, when she dipped in that meal barrel and she dumped it over here, she put the spoon back in there and it was level. She'd reach and get it forever how many years that was, it'd be level again. It never went down where she had to scrape the barrel again. Why? Because she did what the prophet told her to do. But now listen, there's a woman, that part of the church that Elijah went to, but now Elijah went to another woman in the same region called Jezebel. She was Jezebel's pastor, whether she wanted to believe it or not. Because he was a God-sent prophet to that area. He was her peace preacher. Right? And he told her, because she was like, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah did what? Now, did he have any grace for her? No, because she turned it down. He said, the dogs will lick your blood. And they ate her up so much, the only thing they didn't eat was the palm of her hands and something else. But that was the two women or two churches. So every time Elijah came on the earth, the spirit of Elijah, there was two women, two types of the church that he had to deal with. Amen. When Brother Branham came on earth, there was a bride that needed to be taken into glory. There was another bride that he said, I indict you. I indict you for killing Jesus Christ again and putting him on a cross because of your denominational ideas. Amen. So he didn't hate women, he just hated the spirit that was on them. Same way with Elijah. All right, so let's go to 1 Kings real quick. Oh, I'm sorry, go to Matthew 17. I'm sorry, you're right. Let's read this right here because this is Mount Transfiguration. Listen, we're going to come back to this because on Mount Transfiguration, guess what happened? You're looking at a prefigure of the rapture and the children of Israel getting their message. You got Jesus and Moses and Elijah. We're going to get back to that in a minute. And his disciples ask him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? According to Malachi 4. That's what they're saying. The scribes. And Jesus said, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Not just part, not just turn back from a little one to a big. No, he's going to restore all things. What? All those loose ends. Amen. That have been untied and been cut and all those denominational ideas. Listen, God can't be this confused to have 13,000 different ways to go to heaven.
That's right.
And you say you got the only way? Jesus said, I am the way.
Right. Amen.
I'm not ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there's only one way to get to heaven. And that's a correct revelation of who Jesus was. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. So we know that that had to be not the John the Baptist, because he didn't restore all things. He introduced the Messiah. Okay? So it had to be the forthcoming of Elijah to restore it in the end time according to put all the other scriptures together. You can't just take one scripture. You got to take all scriptures and put them together. Revelation 10:7, Malachi 4:5, and Kings. No, go back to Kings. We see that Elijah, this is number one Elijah. We were talking about this morning. We'll fly through it pretty quick. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal. Now there's one Elijah. Standing on top of Mount Carmel. 400 preachers of Baal. Right? 400. Remember how many? It wasn't one. And a congregation was standing on this mountain. Boy, there must have been something going on. There was a showdown, folks. There was a showdown between right and wrong. The devil has always said, if I can get enough numbers, I can beat God. God can take one. Gideon, David, all those different ones that the odds were so astronomical. Moses destroyed a nation as big as the United States of America through God. God through him did. So we're not worried about that. You know what? Elijah wasn't either. I believe, you know, he probably had a vision the day before. He probably had a vision the day before, and he knew all this was going to happen. You can calmly walk into a battle when you know you've already won it. So you say, well, what about us? We've already known we won the battle. We've already known death is not part of this. We've already won the battle if you're born again. That's not going to take the taste out of my mouth. So Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself and dress it first, for you are many. Many of you. 400 against one. Odds are insurmountable. Surely their God is going to show up. Surely your denominational idea is all right. Said, then call on the name of your gods and put no fire under. They took the bullet which was given them. They dressed it, called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. What did we say this morning? According to Amos, there's a voice behind every prophet.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, Baal, but there was no voice.
Yeah.
Nor any that answered. All you could hear was them screaming. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And I'm sure they tore it down because Elijah had to put it back together. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked him and said, cry loud, for he's a god. Either he's talking or pursuing. He's on vacation. Preadventure, he sleepeth and must be awakened.
Yeah.
Some of you, the same way.
Right.
And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. It was not a good looking place.
Right.
And Elijah's just standing over there. He knew where he was standing. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied at the time of the offering of the evening time that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. In other words, they did all that in vain.
Right.
And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he said, and he repaired the altar or restored the altar of the Lord that was broken down. In other words, he took 12 stones. He took revelation and put the revelation back where it was supposed to be. According to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Remember, he was in the Old Testament. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as it contained 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order. He's putting everything back in order. He's restoring worship. Because God's not going to come with all that junk all over the place. He's got to restore worship. And he cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt and sacrifice it on the wood. He wanted to make sure this was going to be a miracle.
Right.
If it would have been gasoline, it would have been a different story. But water? And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. You know what we're talking about this morning. And the water ran everywhere. And he filled the trench with water. Everything was soaking wet. There's no way fire could do this. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. That's what I mean, folks. Let me tell you something. It looks like, to the outside world, that we can't do what we do. It looks to the outside world like we just can't. Y'all just can't do what you're doing.
That's right, brother.
We're doing it.
Amen.
How simple. We're doing it. And I'm happy about it.
Amen.
I'm happy that the world thinks I'm different.
Amen.
Huh?
Great.
I didn't say crazy. I said different.
Me too.
Okay. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant. Look at that identification, that I am thy servant. And that I have done all these things at thy word. God had already told him that.
Right.
Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Just the same as what happened in Malachi 4. Turn the heart back. Now, we know the rest of the story. Now, if you don't know the rest of the story, you need to read your Bible. God came down and didn't just consume the sacrifice. All the water was gone. And then they took those 400 prophets and they took them down to the river Kidron and they killed all 400 of them. Elijah was there with them. Why? Because the message of the hour is what kills those demons. Every demon you got, the message of the hour will kill it. I promise you. And you say, well, the message of the hour. The message of the hour is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through a prophet. So there's your Malachi 4. Let's go to the next. Excuse me. Now this is where we had see the identification of the prophet in the end time. Now this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7. Coach, what is Revelation 10:7? But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. So there's got to be a seventh angel sound. There's got to be a seventh messenger to sound to show and reveal the mystery of God. Alright. Malachi 4, we just read it. He's going to do two things. Malachi 4, he'll turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. That's what we're talking about. Pentecostal babies, right? There you go. Alright, go back up again. Thank you. He's going to do, according to Malachi 4, he turned the hearts of the children, what? Pentecostal babies, to the faith of the established fathers, Peter, James, John. All the New Testament, the 120 in the upper room, the ones that had the Word of God. Peter, James, John, the one that wrote the New Testament Bible. What's the difference in when William Branham came on the earth and when they came on the earth? There wasn't a Baptist on this corner and a Pentecostal on that corner and a Methodist on that corner and a Jewish on that corner and an Orthodox over here and a Tunis and Foreness and Oneness and Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventist and there wasn't that in the first church age. There was fallacies, there was little sayings, but there wasn't those demons so as we have now when the prophet of God came on the scene. He had to turn the hearts of the Pentecostal babies to the faith of the fathers. Back to where? Listen, just like I told you this morning, no prophet ever told you that hell was eternal. It's not in the Bible. But you learned it from somewhere. Some man told you. Right? You didn't just come up with it on your own. Some man had to tell you that. Trinity? Not even in the Bible. No such thing. A man told you that. And you believed it before you came into the message. Right? Right? Some man stood up and told you that. Now how confused is God? He's one.
Right.
So Satan had to feed you the three. Water baptism never was instituted in the New Testament in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, because Father's not a name, Son's not a name, and Holy Ghost is not a name.
Amen.
Right? You say, I'll tell you what Jesus said. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. How could Jesus tell you one thing and Peter tell you something else and you know, Jesus didn't even have the keys to the kingdom. Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. Is that not right? And Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and says, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the... If it had, it would have clicked in heaven and it would have clicked on earth. He said, repent every one of you. And I know what Jesus was saying because Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. There's only one name under heaven whereby men should be saved. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. And nowhere in the Bible until the Catholic Church got a hold of it in about 300 or 600 AD, somewhere in there, no one was ever baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost because it wasn't true. But somebody stood up and told you that, and you took it as what? Bible.
Yeah.
Is that not correct? I know some of you, I didn't come from that, but some of you came from a Trinitarian background and all these different things. Brother Boyd came from a Catholic background. So did Luis come from a Catholic background, or no, Methodist. And a Catholic background, you were taught these things by a man.
Right.
But not a prophet.
Right.
That's why God had to send us a prophet. To turn us back. Because if they didn't baptize in the name of Father and Son and Holy Ghost in the New Testament in the early stages of the faith of the fathers, where'd it go wrong? Through the church ages, Satan got involved and started not eradicate. You can't eradicate the Word of God, but you can make it of none effect. Didn't Jesus say you've made it by your traditions? You made the Word of God of none effect to the people. But God winked at their ignorance. But when we come to the end time where we're going to have to be in a resurrection, we're going to have to be in a, we're going to have to call the dead saints out of the ground. Listen, Jesus didn't stand and call Lazarus out of the ground with a Trinitarian idea. I said idea because it's not a doctrine. Jesus wasn't standing there and said, well, I know hell's eternal, but I'm going to bring Lazarus out. No. He was the Word of God.
Amen.
And being the correct Word of God, he said, I am the resurrection. Lazarus, come forth. In other words, there was no black spots. There was no gaps. There was no false doctrine coming from that man. And then I believe, didn't the prophet of God tell us that where's the resurrection? It lies in you. The resurrection lies in you. The voice of the resurrection will not be a voice. And it won't be Lazarus this time.
Come on.
It'll be Richard Marlowe. It'll be your dad. It'll be your husband, your son. That's who we're going to be calling.
Amen.
Where's it going to come from, though? Falsehood? That's why the Son of Man, folks, that's why it's so important to realize that we're under the Son of Man ministry. We're not under the Son of God ministry. Under the Son of God ministry, there can be places. Now, God's never wrong, but he winks at the ignorance down through the church ages because man has stood in the pulpit and told you all these things were okay. Why am I even going with marriage and divorce? We're not going to talk about that.
Right.
Okay? But all the other major doctrines, a man had to stand back here and tell you, and if it wasn't according to the Word of God, it wasn't God that told you.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
It was the devil. Because
right.
God is not false.
Right.
And he can't be deceived. But you and I can.
Right.
But then he sends us a prophet in the end time to turn us back to the faith of the fathers. Put us back into the New Testament where we baptize correct in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where we know there's no eternal hell because there's only one form of eternal life. And if hell was eternal, God would have to be there the whole time.
That's right. Amen.
Amen?
Right.
And a Trinity? Behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is three.
No, sir.
What'd I say? Three. One.
Amen.
There's only one God.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is his name.
Amen.
I and my Father are one. They really kind of stumble over that. It's kind of pretty much school teacher English. I and my Father are one. Were they? But see, they had to cut him apart so that God could send us a prophet, though. Listen, if everything was all hunky-dory and we had the faith of the fathers and we were, Peter, James, and John was in our congregation doing our preaching for us, we wouldn't need a prophet.
Right.
We needed a prophet to restore us back to that.
Right.
So God said, I'll do nothing unless I reveal it to my servants, the prophets first, and then I'm going to bring it to you.
Amen.
Everybody okay with this?
Because
that was the importance of God sending a messenger. Sure, he sent Luther Wesley. He sent the Dowies. He sent the Ura Smith. He sent all that. And we honor those people. But they weren't identified in the Bible as our prophet in the end time was identified in the Bible. He was identified truly as Elijah. He loved the wilderness. He hated bad women. All the different things. He was absolutely the messenger of the end time. He wasn't God because he was sex born. So that just negated all that. Okay? So you can get that out of your head. We know that. We don't believe that. But let's continue. Let's skip a few right here. Let's go to where it says based on resurrection. Because in the end time, well, let's go to number three, the Queen of Sheba. Now here we see in the end time, we see a lot of people that, we see people that had messages. Moody, Calvin, Knox, Finney, all the different great ones, Spurgeon. What's one that Wigglesworth, Smith Wigglesworth, man. I mean, Smith Wigglesworth. Read his book. I mean, come on, he goes into a shoe store. And the boy don't even have any feet. And he asks him, what size shoe do you want? And what color do you want? And they said by testimony that the boy's feet, when the man pulled the shoes out, the boy's feet grew down into the shoe. You say, well, that's just impossible.
Come on.
Little girl. Little girl, what color eyes do you want? Oh, I forgot. Remember the little girl? She comes up to the prophet and she has no eyeballs. None. He says he pulls her to his bosom and he prays for her. And he said he let her go and said, oh, I forgot. What color eyes do you want?
Amen.
Oh, amen. What a mighty God we serve. But see, that's the sign that this generation got. Look down here in this generation. What he's doing now, they'll receive a sign, but they won't believe it. Continue reading. There you are, but it came just the same. And even an adulterous generation will seek after a sign. And they'll have it. It'll be given to them. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, 3 days and nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. We know that was Jesus Christ when he died and then he resurrected. But the resurrection will be the sign. And the resurrection, the sign is given to the church in this last day. Like I said before this morning, no man, since the Lord Jesus Christ ever stood and could point his finger and say, you were at the doctor yesterday. You had on a blue suit with a red ribbon in your hair. You had on purple shoes. I mean, he was down to the detail, down to the detail.
Right.
You live in house number 2334 on certain street. The doctor told you you have cancer. It's on your left breast. He said, you're shadowed with death. He prayed a prayer and he said, okay, the shadow's left you, lady, you're healed.
Right.
Nobody could do that.
Right.
Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times.
Right.
Went to India and 250,000 people were confirmed healed in one service.
Amen.
They had to carry stretchers and wheelchairs. He said he looked out the window and they were bringing them in those car carriers that carried the military. Piled full of stretchers.
Yeah. Amen.
There was our, but listen, that was a temporary resurrection sign.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Right.
The dead was raised, the sick was healed under the prophet of God. But remember, it's in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound. The mystery that the resurrection can come from me and you.
Yeah.
The resurrection will be the sign. The resurrection is sign is given to the church in the last days. Remember the prophet of God told us, he said, what you see in its infancy, my goodness, are in part. He said, you'll see in the fullness at the end time. Oh my.
Amen.
I mean, good grief. There'd be hundreds of people healed every night in service. And that was just a part, a piece. Well, it was given to one man. See, it was given to one man. Now it's given to me and you. It's given to me and you, John, Revelation 10:8, to prophesy. All right. And the angel of the Holy Spirit in the meeting, showing the same thing, doing the same thing across the nation, proving that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead just the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the generation that will receive it. In other words, they received the sign and turned it down. Because they looked at the healing campaign more than they looked at the message. But now you and I are the generation that say, yes, we saw the signs that we saw. We hear the prayer line. We saw the signs and wonders. Some of you were sitting here in the building that was there, Sister Tootsie, Sister Cleta, Sister Frida, were sitting in the service, and we had several others that had passed on, Brother Joe Canada's daddy, Brother Robert Tatum, and several ones that were in actually in the meetings and saw God heal people. Your daddy was called out in the prayer line, wasn't he? That's right. Mr. Duncan sure was called out in the prayer line. All right. So you see that it wasn't a fallacy. It happened. But remember, they got hung on the signs and wonders. Because that's a temporary resurrection sign. The resurrection sign is over here in the message of the hour where we're standing today. This generation that takes the voice of God and prophesies and the dead in Christ shall rise. Listen, it's not going to be an angel come down from heaven, stand here and go, and the resurrection happen. It's going to happen through us. We're going to have so much faith. But it's going to be just still baby faith. Faith is faith. That's the generation that will receive it. Let's go to the next one. Everybody all right? Everything... Christianity is based on resurrection. If Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead, then there's no Christianity. Because what do we believe in? Muhammad is still in the grave. But they sure believe he was a prophet. But they believe he's going to resurrect. We don't have to wait. Ours is already risen. And we didn't have to have a white horse sitting there waiting on him when he got out of the tomb. Buddha. Airplane. Buddha. Waiting on him to resurrect.
Right.
We're not waiting on ours to resurrect.
Amen.
He's already given us the resurrection sign. He gave us the resurrection sign through the prophet of God. Resurrection is a state of having passed completely through death and having risen from death. To be in resurrection is different than to be alive, obviously. To be alive is the original state without having passed through death. Now listen, we're going to read in a minute that those who are alive and remain... So there is a group that's going to be the ones that do the calling. To be alive is the original state without having passed through death. To be in resurrection is to have passed through death and have been raised up. And like I said this morning, Jesus went through death, burial, resurrection, but he didn't die again. Lazarus died again. All the people that Brother Branham, not Brother Branham, but God through the prophet of God raised from the dead, they all passed on. So that was temporary resurrection. Listen, when you get healed, it's a temporary resurrection.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
You sure feel better when God heals you, don't you?
Right.
Well, that's a temporary resurrection, but then all of a sudden, the next day, your other leg hurts.
Yeah.
Right, Sister Alicia? Your other leg hurts, and then your other arm hurts. And you go, God, heal me of this headache. Well, that's good. Well, I can't. You see what I mean? It's temporary.
Yeah.
But we're coming to a place to where it's full.
Amen.
The full resurrection is going to take place. To be in resurrection is to have passed through death, to have been raised up. Now remember, you got to take the scriptures in the Bible that says we're already resurrected. Sitting in heavenly places. I believe it's Colossians or somewhere in there. Raised up, sitting in heavenly places. But that's the soul.
That's right.
Not the body.
Amen.
But Jesus resurrected in a body.
Right,
he resurrected in a body he died in. What a miracle.
Amen.
And we'll resurrect in the body we went down in. It'll just be made new.
Correct.
Amen.
Amen?
And then it will be a new body. But now some people preach it'll be a new body where you just throw this one away. No, listen, I'm connected to this guy.
Right. Yeah.
So are you. And most denominations, they believe that this thing's going to just stay in the grave. And you're just going to get this brand new something over here.
Right.
No, that's not resurrection. We're talking about resurrection.
Right.
Resurrection is if I drop this down and if I pick this up, I am resurrecting that piece of paper.
Right.
If I put this bottle down and then pick this piece of paper up, that's not resurrection.
Right.
That's replacement.
Right.
It's going to be a miracle. To God change this thing right here.
Amen.
It's not a miracle if he just goes and gets him another one out of a closet and just sticks it on you.
Right?
Right? Ain't that right, Louis? Ain't that right? That's the miracle, that this could come, what? Born in sin.
Amen.
Shaping in iniquity. See, that's what the world in their mind, they say, I'm so sinful, I'm not good, and you're not good. I ain't perfect, you ain't either. That's not what God said.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
Yes.
God said, be ye therefore perfect.
Amen.
Even as my Father in heaven is perfect.
Amen.
And if I'm in Him, I'm perfect in Him. So I'm going to come up and be resurrected in this body if I have to go by the grave. This body, and then it's just going to be changed into new.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
You be careful with your replacement and your resurrection.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
When the prophet of God says new body, he is not meaning new as in. Listen, let me give you a little, because it was brought to my attention that Brother Brown said that you get a new body. You got to continue on with the puzzle. Go to the future home.
Yes.
I'm telling you, if you have a problem with any of the resurrection, new body, justification, that's why I love that sermon, the future home. He covers all that.
Amen.
So now what does he tell us about the earth? Aren't you connected to the earth?
Amen.
Brother Donnie, we're not going to get the 2 wins. Is that okay? Aren't you connected? Didn't you come out of this earth? Didn't your body, 16 elements, your dad ate, your mama ate, they come together, you came and got a body with 16 elements, right?
Right.
And where'd it come from? Not outer space, it came from the earth.
Right.
So you're connected to this earth.
Right.
Now the Bible tells us that heaven and earth will pass away. Then there, I believe it in Peter or somewhere, it says it will pass away with a great noise. So see, everybody thinks that the whole world's just gonna blow up. And God's going to make a new one. But remember, it took a prophet of God to tell us that word is anonin, or whatever that long word is. And it does not mean annihilation. It just means clean it off. So that's what he's going to do with your body. Because you're connected to this earth. If he's not going to destroy this earth, he's not going to destroy this earth. But see, it's hard to believe when you get up in the morning that I'm saying what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Right, Brother Paul? Yeah. We get up in shifts, and you try to get your feet up first, and you'll understand later on. That's why we're going to be turned back. Them 20-year-old kids are going, what's he talking about? I just jump up out of the bed whatever time, and my shoes are already on before I hit the floor. I got to get to the floor first. And it might be my face first.
Right.
Right? Because I'm what? Born in sin. I'm getting older. But this thing's going to be changed back to that 20-year-old person I was. Because remember, God took a picture of you. When you were that age. And he's going to ship you right back to that age. He's not going to annihilate the world. Listen, the Bible tells us we're going to live right here.
Right.
This is where we're living. This is our heaven. John saw the new city coming down out of heaven, settling onto the earth. This is where we're going to live, folks. And it's going to be a redeemed earth. It's going to be an earth that's been washed, that's been burnt by fire, that's been renovated. Sin has been annihilated. Same way as when the dead saints come out of the ground, they're going to step in this dimension and boom. 20 years old.
Amen.
Oh, what a youth meeting we're going to have.
Right.
It will never end either.
Amen.
To be resurrection is to have passed through death and have been raised up. Let's go to the next one. We hadn't even got where we was this morning. I like these little refresher courses though. It kind of helps everybody out a little bit. Amen. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith also vain? And I'll ask you another question. When Jesus resurrected, because remember, he's the first fruit, right? First fruits of the resurrection. He's the first one that came out of the ground and he never has to go back into the ground again. Is everybody right with that? Right? First fruits of the resurrection. So first fruits, if the first thing come to maturity is corn, and it came out of a cornfield, what's the rest of the crop? Corn!
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
corn.
Yes.
So whatever happened to this first fruit is going to happen to the rest.
Amen.
All right?
Right?
So is there an empty tomb or is there a tomb with a body laying in it? There's an empty tomb.
Amen. Right.
So in your resurrection, there's going to be an empty tomb.
Right.
And you're not going to have to dig your way out.
Amen.
That's the great mystery.
Right.
Your mama taught you, I told that, your mama, your grandma taught you, that one day you're going to walk out there and them graves are going to just pop right open and there's going to be dirt laying everywhere. No, remember, this is secret catching away.
That's
secret
it.
Catching away. They'll never be there where you have to. Listen, our first fruits, Jesus Christ, when he came back on earth, right? The Bible said, basically, he walked through a wall. Remember, they were in the upper chambers. They had all the doors locked. They had all the windows closed. And he appeared among them. In a flesh body. Not a spirit. Because they were saying that. He perceived that in their mind. He said, give me some fish. And then I bet you old Thomas, because he's a little bit doubting Thomas, he said, I bet that fish is going to hit the floor. Because the spirit can't eat. I bet he's going to put it in. It's going to go. Pfft. No. He was a human.
Right.
He had turned back to a young man. That's why they didn't realize who he was, number one. Number two, he ate that fish, and it went right down inside of him. But then again, when he left, he just went right through the wall again. What about that? That's what a glorified body will do for you. Mine and yours is not glorified yet. I got to go open that door to get outside. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, see, that's why I've been trying to mold in my mind. I told you about the Son of Man. If we take the character of what Jesus was on earth, he was the Son of Man. If we're supposed to have the Son of Man ministry back here in the end time, the same as that, according to Luke 17:30, then we always take this character of this man and bring it over here and say, all right, where am I missing it? Now, I know between there and here, there's a virgin birth that I can't get over. I didn't come that way. But I'm not Almighty God. I'm part of Almighty God.
Right.
He was born virgin birth. I wasn't, but he basically told me, he said, if you'll believe in me, so I'll do away with that. By your new birth, that's why he told Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Right.
And Nicodemus said, what? Have I got to go get back in my mama's womb and be born? Jesus said, no. That's your problem.
Yeah.
If you go back and do it again, you're double in trouble.
Amen.
He said, you got to be born from above.
Right.
Then you want, when you're born from above, sure you're going to have problems. Sure you're going to have heartache. Sure you're going to have trials. Sure you're always going to have a characteristic of the person that birthed you. But you can be born again by Jesus Christ, and you act different. You can't have an excuse that, well, I got to be this way because my mom and daddy is this way. You know what? I want to be the way that my mom and daddy is.
Yeah, right.
Bible tells me that my mother is New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, and I know who my father is too.
Yes.
So that's who we need to act like. Because he's the, do we have that genetics inside? That's what's going to change us to the outside. Oh, we'll get to that later. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain and your faith also in vain? Let's go to the next one. Revelation 20 verse 4. Here's what we were talking about this morning. And I saw thrones, not one throne, thrones.
Right.
And they sat upon them. They, many people, the bride, me and you, we don't stand in judgment. And judgment was given unto them to judge the world. The Bible says the saints will judge the earth. We'll even judge angels. And we're not worthy? I'm going to say I'm worthy because he said I'm worthy. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast. Now look, I didn't stop that this morning, but I'm going to stop right here. We'll cover it when we get to the two witnesses. The whole world. When we leave this place, the whole world. World. 7 billion people are going to worship the beast. And in the denomination world, you're already worshiping if you're out there. Hello? The whore and her daughters. I'm just reading the Bible. Which had not worshipped the beast, so it couldn't be those. It has to be bride, neither his image, neither had received his mark, remember? Bless her heart, Deanna. Deanna the other day, she's trying to live better. Just pray for her. My granddaughter. She's trying to wear dresses and not cut her hair and just pray for her. But she said, Papa, she said, somebody told me that if you had a tattoo, that you're going to hell. Well, I thought, okay, but where's that coming from? I always try to look and see where that comes from. Not just because a kid will process things. Somebody like me and Frida, we just say what we think and then we have to apologize for it. But I ain't wrong, I know that. No, no longer than you have, buddy. But a child, though, analyzes something, and something has to spark that interest to ask that question. Everybody right with me? Young kids? It sparks a question because something happens. All right? So she said, Papa, is it true that people, is it true that people are going to go to hell because they have a tattoo? I said, no. Because I was thinking, I thought, well, you know what? There was a movie a long time ago called The Omen. Don't ever look it up. This was B.C., before Christ. But it talks about the Antichrist, and what it was, there was a 666 tattoo in a little boy's head, and he was supposed to be the Antichrist, and they were going to try to kill him. They found the 666, and then that's what Deanna was asking, about the stamp or the tattoo or the mark. That's why we were talking about the mark upon their forehead. Listen, folks. The world is so amorized with vision. They got to see this. Listen, with God, everything's secret unless you're part of the secret. I like that one more time. Unless you're part of the secret, it's secret. But if you're part of the secret, it's not secret anymore. There's not going to be a 666 tattooed to your forehead. That's where she was coming from. I said, no, baby. I said, there's people in our church that have tattoos. I said, your dad's even got one. I said, but now the Bible does tell us in Leviticus, I think it is, that you shouldn't put ink in your body. So there is a scripture that tells you don't need to put needles or ink in your body. So don't get a tattoo. Right. But where her thought process was not exactly that was coming from that was the mark of the beast. If you were tattooed, that was the mark of the beast. Well, that's not what this is happening. There is no government going to come up and say, all right, well, we're going to, or in the forehead or something where people can see. Listen, if you have an idea contrary to the word of God, you're already tattooed.
Right.
You've already got the mark.
Amen.
Now, God can erase that mark.
Amen.
He can take that tattoo off. But if you don't take it off, then why does it say forehead? In your intelligence. It didn't say your foot or your leg. It said right here and in your hand. What? Your works. And your brain. That's where they want you. They want you to work. And then have a different thought than what God has given us. That's the tattoo. That's the mark of the beast. And so it's not, neither had they received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. In other words, all those people that took the mark of the beast, which the mark of the beast is unbelief, folks.
Yes.
It's not a mark, a physical mark. It's not a barcode. Lord of mercy, when the barcodes came out. Oh, grief. Everybody went to check in to see if the government came by one night, and black helicopter, and we walked by and go, I like to mess with them girls when they, you know, when you go across, you go, doop, doop. They'll get ready to do it, and I'll go, doop. That'll mess them up real good. But anyway, they all listen, didn't they? Didn't people think?
Yeah.
We laugh, but there's everybody's like, oh, that's the mark of the beast. And then now they give you the, now they're going to give you the vaccine, and that's the mark of the beast. Not knowing they're already participating in the mark of the beast by not having the correct word of God in their heart. And then they got to get it here first. Everybody okay with this? I'm about to run out of voice. But this is the first resurrection. That's the secret one. That's the one nobody's going to know anything about. That's the secret catching away. That's the no graves have to be open. We just disappear. Because the second resurrection, second death, is up yonder where there's thrones. And then the Bible tells us their book is open. And out of that book will be judged the people of the earth. Not me and you. Not the born again believers. Because look, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. In other words, born again believers come up in the first resurrection. No one else.
Amen.
Everybody got that? Say amen. No one else. There's no foolish virgin. There's no cup of water in my name. There's no justified people. There's no, listen, this is a hard one. There's no little children that die before the, because they're not born again. Only born again people come up in the first resurrection that have the new birth in their soul under their messenger, whoever it be, Paul, Irenaeus, Mark, Columba, Luther, Wesley, or Elijah. Okay?
Amen.
But the second death or the second resurrection, people, remember the Bible says they come out of the earth, they come out of the sea, they got to come out of the bottom of the sea, they came out of all the different places. Why? General resurrection. You don't want to be part of that general resurrection. Because you're going to be judged by what you did. I do not want to be judged by what I did. But look, but they shall be priests of God, so they must be pretty good people, and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Let's go to the next one.
Right.
Everybody all right? We got to get to a point here. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Listen, we're not ignorant.
Amen.
You can't plead ignorance in this day and time, not if you've sat around this church for long enough.
Right.
But I would not have you. That's why I said the book's open. It becomes more plain. Listen, this is not hard.
Right.
This is not hard to live once you get the liver inside of you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Because listen, if the man that wrote it, we know there's one man.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, the creator of the world. He wrote the Bible.
That's right.
If he is inside of you, how can they contradict? When you read the Bible, sure, there's things you don't understand, but how can you say that's not right in the Bible if you have the one that wrote it inside of you? Impossible.
Right.
Totally impossible. Because you ain't got the right person inside of you. It's why you're... Anyway, I didn't want to say that, but I did anyway. But listen, if you realize that you have that, praise God. If you realize that you've been deceived, but that your eyes have been opened, oh, praise God, there's a lot of people that's going to be blind forever. Spiritually blind.
Amen.
I'd rather be naturally blind 100 times over than to be spiritually blind. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, not dead, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, there's that alive. I was telling you about it, alive. So in other words, these people have not, they're not part of the resurrection. They're part of the calling. Because they're alive. You got to be alive. If you're dead, you can be considered in the resurrection. But if you're alive, you got to be the one that speaks it. We which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of an archangel, and the trump of God. Listen, the world thinks he's going to come down through the eastern skies, like I said this morning, park the eastern skies and have a trumpet. I reckon Gabriel or somebody is going to be going, bah! That's a message. That's a message that's come to us. A message, a shout that turned our head and said, wow, I've been deceived all my life. Now I see the light. That ought to make you shout. And the voice of an archangel with a trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Wow. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, rapture, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Let's go to the next scripture and then we'll stop right here. Behold, I show you a mystery. Then in Revelation 10:7 said what? In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound the mystery, one mystery, not mysteries, the mystery of God shall be finished. To me, the great mystery is how God can save your soul. Show you the message of your hour. You be in it and live it. And if you have to go by the grave, no problem. You're going to be brought back up. But the ones who are alive and remain are going to sound the trumpet. Gospel trumpet, not... Sorry. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. The dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. You know, I was thinking just now, brought to my attention, you look at, we talk about replacement and resurrection, or change. We talk about the change of the body. Now, when Abraham and Sarah, they weren't like a cocoon or a katydid or whatever that is. You know, you see that thing up on the side of the tree that it split open and the new one flies out and leaves that old thing. Abraham didn't roll over and his old body, they have to do something with. Right? It sounds silly, but it's not replacement, folks. It's changing what was there. It's changing dead Abraham, changing dead Sarah, back to young man and woman again, so they can have a child. But they had to meet the Son of Man first. They had to meet God in human flesh. A prefigure of the Son of Man. Now that wasn't Jesus. Well, that was the theophany of Jesus, but that wasn't the one that died for us. Everybody understand that? So see, we're to be changed. Wow, could you imagine? Here's Abraham, 99 years old. Sarah, 89. They went to bed like this. I'll get there in a minute. And of course they don't have, they didn't have king size, Serta, sleep number, therapeutic, memory foam, water beds. They had a pallet laying on the floor. With straw, yeah, straw tick. And can you imagine laying down at 99? They was hoping for a resurrection, that's for sure. But the next morning for Abraham, I'm making light, but still, that's going to happen, folks.
Amen.
By the word of the Lord, somebody in this room is going to take a body change. They're going to wake up one morning, or they're going to walk, or they're going to be walking down the hallway, and they'll be going like this, and all of a sudden they're going to go, oh, man. But what did Abraham do that morning? Abraham turned over and went, whoa! I'm in bed with the wrong woman. I went to bed with an 89-year-old and I woke up and she's 20. And Sarah looks over at him and goes, Abraham, you've changed.
Amen.
Isn't that what Brother Brandon, when he went across the curtain of time, remember he didn't really realize it. He looked back and saw the old man, but he reached up and said, I got hair. I don't have wrinkles. Right? That's the truth, folks. That really happened. And just as sure as it happened to Abraham and Sarah, it's going to happen to me and you. Somebody is going to stand one day and say, corruption, you have met your maker. I'm not taking this no more. I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm going to be changed. Now let's go to the next scripture and then we'll close. Musicians, get ready to come. Revelations 4. This is where we were this morning. Sorry, Donnie, we didn't get any further. After this I looked and behold a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was it were of a trumpet. Now look, after this, after what? After the church ages. Look, this is the last church age. Number 7. There were 7 stars. There were 7 candlesticks. There's no more church ages. This is it. We're at the end time. If you don't know we're at the end time, then we got a problem. Let me talk to you about a few things. And after this I looked and behold a door was open in heaven. Look. And the first voice which I heard was it were, there's always a trumpet somewhere. There's always a trumpet going off. Somebody's got a trumpet in their hand or somebody's getting ready to sound a trumpet. What is that? It's a voice. What did the trumpet do? It sounded to battle. Listen, way back before there was communication, if you had 2 million people fighting, like the children of Israel would have hundreds of thousands on a battlefield, well, they might be stretched 2 miles. They couldn't talk to each other. They listened for that trumpet. And if that trumpet gave a certain sound, they could charge. If that trumpet gave another certain sound, they couldn't charge. If that trumpet gave a certain sound, they had to go over so many meters and come around this way. That was what? A type of communication. So that's what, when you see trumpet in the Bible, it's not, excuse me, it's not this.
That's right.
This is a symbol.
Yeah.
Now what does this do? It sounds what he's blowing. So we heard, yeah, I know.
Sometimes pretty good.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. You do a good job with this thing. But this right here is an instrument used by a man to get a message to a group of people. So when you see that word trumpet, it's God through somebody bringing you a message. This is the prophets. What would you think Isaiah would do when Isaiah was this thing right here? And Isaiah was a young man. But Isaiah stood up one day and said, a virgin shall conceive.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. His wife was probably behind him pulling his coattail going, where'd you get that? He said, I don't know, but it's what somebody told me to say.
Right. That's right.
It's what God told me because he was blowing the note. Through my soul.
Amen.
And the voice came out the other end.
Right.
A virgin shall conceive. That was a trumpet. Same way with this right here. I heard as it were a trumpet talking with me. A trumpet doesn't talk.
Right.
So it was somebody talking. Saying, come up hither. Come up to another dimension. Come up to another place. Because you're going in rapture. Come up hither and I will show these things which must be hereafter. And I immediately, I was in the spirit and behold, a throne. Not thrones. A throne was set in heaven and one sat on that throne. One. Not three. One. John is a type of the bride, right? So he went up in Revelation 4 in a rapture. He took a rapture by that voice that talked to him. Now what are we? When the last trumpet sounds, we've had a message. That last trumpet has sounded. What are you going to do about it? Some have given uncertain sounds. In the hand of a skilled person, it's beautiful. If I picked it up, you'd hear nothing but spit. Uncertain, right. But that's the same instrument. It was just blown by somebody that didn't know what they were doing. But it's also blown, that was me I'm talking about. But it's also blown by somebody that knows how to hold it. A professional. And you better listen to what comes out the end. because it's true.
Amen.
Today I've told you the truth.
Amen.
As far as I know, I've told you the truth of God. And what you do with it is your business. Because we're all free moral agents. We can choose to accept or reject. So choose you this day who you'll serve. Let's stand to our feet. So the bride's going to take a rapture. We didn't use our chart. But the bride's going to take a rapture. The church is not. Church is going to stay here. Those that have received the mark of the beast will not go in the first resurrection. Right? If you've received the mark of the beast, you're not going in the first resurrection. But if you receive the seal of God, you will go in the first resurrection. We'll start next couple of weeks. Pray for Brother Hyatt coming. But Matthew 17 says, after 6 days, Peter, James, and John was took up to a high mountain and was transfigured, and his face shone as the sun. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. That's where we get to, because the first resurrection, once we are resurrected and get out of here, those two witnesses are going to go to the Jews. According to Revelations 13. Amen. Our Revelations 11, 3 through 7. I'm going to give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. To continue the plan of redemption for the Jews. The plan of redemption for the Gentiles is over. Listen, they ain't none of this left behind stuff. That's false. That's the devil. If you miss the first resurrection, you ain't coming up and getting saved. You're going to the second resurrection, and you're going to have to give an account for what you did on the earth.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
And you don't have much of a chance when you get there. Sorry. Because if I'm judged by my works, I'm going to hell anyway. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But see, I took his judgment.
Right.
He took my judgment. And now I stand with him. And if he's a judge now, what does that make me? A judge.
Amen.
If he's a judge now, what that make me? It makes me a judge. All right, let's sing a song. God bless you. Thank you for hanging around.
Oh, some glad morning when this life is over. Fly away.
To the world, we're crazy. Because we're not normal. And that means crazy. But they call God himself in human flesh. They call Jesus Beelzebub. They called him a wine bibber. They said you hang around sinners and prostitutes. Well, who are you? He was God in human flesh. And that same God, by the new birth, is inside of you.
Amen.
He's in your human flesh. And he's going to make you act different than the world.
Yes.
That's why, folks, it's not that we suppress our women and suppress our men and suppress our feelings, because the Bible tells us. Jesus said, you'll be in this world, but you'll not be of this world.
That's right.
And I'll protect you. Because I'll be with you, even in you.
Yeah. Right.
So see, if it's not an inner work, it's no good anyway. I mean, if I have to remind June to not cut her hair every day. So same way with God. If God has to remind us. No. Get the one that wrote the Bible inside of you. He can't do anything but lead you and guide you into all truth. He can't go against his own word. I'll take what the Bible says. Okay? Over anything that's contrary to the word of God. Now, it doesn't matter who it comes from. Like Daddy's always said, it come from a dumb donkey one time.
Amen.
Spoke to a prophet. A dumb donkey. Spoke to a prophet and told Balaam, well, he was a false prophet, but God was telling him, don't go this way, don't go this way, don't go this way. And he finally had the donkey, had to talk and tell the prophet. Why? Because he's backslid. Let's don't have an animal have to tell us that we're backslid. Amen? You pray to God this week that this service next week will be wonderful. Wednesday night, it's going to be good already. Brother Bob's going to speak for us. But just remember the word of the Lord. It's true. We may be crazy, but that's what, you know, Paul stood up one day and he said in the way that's called heresy. He said, I worship the God of my Father. I worship this God. Call me crazy. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I want to be different. Listen, if you, I ain't gonna see. Never mind. Let's close. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd sanctify us for this journey that we're on, Lord. And let truth be told. Let all else be false. Lord, let your word be upheld. Lord, you said it would never return void, but it would accomplish exactly what it said it would accomplish. And Lord, your thoughts, Lord, they're eternal. And Father, we're just trying in a human way of here in this first three dimensions, Lord, of death and sorrow. We're trying our best, Lord, to get people to see you. And that there is something different about us. There is a God that'll never change. There is a Bible that doesn't have 7,000 different interpretations. It only has one. And Lord, you're the interpreter.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, if you'll just please, this week, Lord, we pray that you'd give us a good week, all of us.
Yes,
Brother Dale, all the way down to each one of us, Lord.
Yes.
Give us a good week today, this week.
Yes,
we come back together, Lord, Saturday with the youth. Lord, we're trying our best to give the youth some time that they'll not be forgotten, Lord, because we were all youth at one time, and some of us are still youth in the gospel. So we pray that you bless Brother Hyatt, Lord, in the weekend service. Be with the youth, Lord. If there be any questions in their heart, Lord, I pray that you'd have them write them down. And Lord, somebody will answer that question for them, Lord. We thank you, God, for everything that you give us. We thank you for this message of the hour, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to even know who you are. And know where you're at. And know what you're doing. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes. Lord, this week, we ask you just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Go with God.
More precious than silver,
Lord, you are.